Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Lynn Curry. I'm a member here at Prairie, and I'm really happy to see all of you. It's been a few weeks since I've been here. So Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, your sexual orientation, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age or your abilities or your inabilities. Later in the service, hang on in there. I know you're all, if you're new here or haven't visited for a while, I'm sure you're anxious to introduce yourselves. Hold on to that thought. We'll have a chance later on in the service for you to do that. Just to let you know, if you are new to Prairie, give us a few times. Every Sunday is a little bit different. Sometimes we do something special like this, where we offer the variety of voices from throughout the congregation. Sometimes a member of the congregation presents. Sometimes it's our minister, Sandy Ingham, or sometimes it's someone from the community who comes and presents on a topic of interest. So we have opening words this morning from Ann Urbanski. Did I miss something?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carl. I didn't communicate very well. I'm sorry, Ann.
I guess Carl is reading the opening words.
I set up for you.
Awesome.
All right, I'll try to read in a high voice, I guess.
I don't have a high voice.
Sorry. There are always meaningful songs for somebody. People are doing their courting. People are finding their wives. People are making babies. People are washing their dishes. People are getting through the day with songs that we may find insignificant. But their significance is affirmed by others. There's always someone affirming the significance of a song by taking a loved one into their arms or by getting through the night. That's what dignifies the song. Songs don't dignify human activity. Human activity dignifies the song. Leonard Cohen.
I'm going to welcome up now Paula Pichars, one of our Prairie members, who has a treat in store for us with the help of a lot of members, I think, who are all listed yet in the program. So you'll have a chance to learn a little bit about each of them as we go along.
Thank you, Lynn. So good morning. This is probably one of the easiest programs I've ever put together because I'm not planning on providing much content. I'll talk a little bit about songwriting and the creative process, but for the most part, I plan to let the musicians and their music speak for themselves. So almost immediately after I agreed to coordinate this program, I realized I had to severely narrow my focus so that I could have a manageable number of performances. So I first ruled out new original words to familiar melodies, like parodies, like the Raging Grannies, and a lot of us have written those. So I decided no original melodies and words, or original melodies only for music. Then I ruled out choral works because it wasn't feasible to do that here. And there weren't good enough recordings for those that were submitted. And then I had to regretfully rule out any music by the multi-talented and prolific Dalida Shapru, whose death a few years ago hit us all hard. I think it's best if someone does a program devoted solely to her music and her impact on Prairie and Madison. But still, there are 8 composers sharing their work today, including me. Several more, including Prairie children and adults, either didn't quite have a piece ready to perform, or they weren't able to be here, or they are too shy. So we've already enjoyed 2 original works this morning. Amber played one of her compositions. Wasn't that incredible? And another treat is in store for the offertory. And, you know, it's true, every time she plays a piano, I just feel delighted, you know, just experiencing. And Elizabeth Alexander, who attended Prairie briefly during the 90s, I think, early 2000s, early 90s, she composed Being Who We Are for school children in a school in Wanakee. And visit her website if you like music at all. She's a brilliant composer with inspiring themes. She has an international reputation, and she's composed, you know, across the board, but she's best known for her choral compositions. And her website is listed on the lyric sheet. And as Barb said, the Prairie Choir has sung one of hers, and I'm looking forward to singing another one of hers. So, why do we write songs? And why do we feel a need to express an idea or an emotion in music in particular? So I and the other musicians will speak about what brought us to write our individual songs, but what I think we all have in common is that even though songwriting is a solitary act, it's an attempt to connect with others and to reach out to whomever might be the one that listens to it, the songwriter's very own personal song, and feels that it speaks to their experience also. And very often at the end of the creative process of writing the song, the songwriter realizes that he or she is just a conduit for some universal consciousness or humanity or awareness, but maybe that's just me, okay. So I'm happy to have a sip of water because my mouth is really drying up. And this is a little awkward, I'm going to do my song first. I wrote the lyrics and a melody, and Carl actually made the music for it. I said he arranged it, but he actually completed the music. I wrote this for, it was a play, a short musical, and there were four women in it. Each woman had her own song. And this character, Del, as happens so often, has an emotion, has a love for somebody that doesn't quite fit in with, you know, societal norms, for somebody who already is committed in another relationship. And so I wanted to speak to the difficulty of, you know, having those feelings, but knowing that you couldn't act on them. They couldn't be acted on. So.
Did you read the book? Did you meditate? Did you take a walk? Did you stay up late? Did you recollect when our eyes met? Did you think of me? Did you think of me? Did you think that you would be safe?
Next to share his music, and I know he I hope he'll speak a little bit about what brought him to write it. He'll need a microphone, but I just wanted to say Mike has more musical ability and knowledge in his little finger than I have in my whole body, or most of us, and he's like a, I consider him a living treasure, so I'm looking forward to hearing
you all hear
him.
No. No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes. That was a hearing test.
Okay, what you have this morning, and I'll talk about both of them, are samples of dance music. I have been working with dancers for better than 40 years, and tunes just come into my head. And I don't write them down. For a long time, I used to, and my writing is all raggedy and hard to read, and music notation. But 20 years ago, I acquired a composition program called Noteworthy, which I can thoroughly recommend. It is not one of your multi-hundred dollar programs. It cost me just $49.90. It was designed for impoverished Southern church musicians. It works for dancers too. The first one is a waltz, and it's called Karen. Both of these are going to be on, they're on CD, by the way. And I lifted them off my Noteworthy program. I don't think there's any piano instrumentation in either one of them. Karen is Karen Carlson. Some of you might know her. Dancer, singer. And this was written for a big, fat, round-numbered birthday of hers back in 2013. I won't tell you which one it was. And the second one, coming later in the program, is called Trip Banner. It has nothing to do with falling, and it has nothing to do with flags. Trip is the husband of my friend Susan Conant. Susan Conant played the flute in a band that I was in with her and David Mullen, who plays violin. And we called ourselves O'er the Border, which is a reference to Scotland. When you want to get the hell out of Scotland, you go O'er the Border down to England. But Susan lived in St. Charles, Illinois. Dave and I live here in the Madison area. So anytime we had a gig, at least one of us had to cross a border. And it is a hornpipe, and I called it Trip Banner because I thought it was appropriate for somebody with his energy. I hope you like them. Thank you. Track one, Al.
I'm hoping we can play them both back to back.
Back to back, says... Thank you.
Mike, those were lovely. Our next musician is...
If anybody wants the CD, they can have it by dropping a little extra in the offertory.
Dan Proud is our next musician. Oh, there you are. I should have gotten the thesaurus out because I'm running out of superlatives, but anyway, I think most of us know Dan and his enormous creativity and generosity with his music, so I'm looking forward to this.
Well, this is the guitar that I had, I don't know how many years it was, 40 some years ago when I wrote the song. I love to travel. I've been gone almost all summer because I've been traveling all over the country and for various things. But back in the 70s, I didn't have a car, so I hitchhiked. And those were the days when hitchhiking was pretty common. I knew people who hitchhiked to work. And I hitchhiked to get places around the Midwest. I remember writing, for me, songwriting is pretty much writing about my experiences, and I was hitching somewhere north of Minneapolis, probably Anoka, and the sun was toward the end of the day, the sun was going down, it was starting to get cold, and I needed a ride. So that was the context for it. Usually I just write the lyrics down and then I add music to it later. So, I was going to finger pick this, but I think you'll do better if I just use a flat pick. Radio said it's going to rain, snow's close behind, cold tonight, tomorrow. Weather's on my mind. My last flight ride left an hour ago, and I'm stuck here on the ramp. I'm a stone cold backpack in a Midwestern hitchhike tramp. Seen a lot of people, seen a lot of lives. Truckers, jet set businessmen, suburban housewives. Some of them would talk to me, some would hitch themselves. Some of them would run me down and curse me to their hells. Well, the old folks looked straight ahead if they'd seen my kind before. But they stare at me in utter shock and hang on to their door. Girls wave and smile and think that I'm just so much fun. Freezing on the shoulder, watching the setting sun. But something to see a man wave when he's going the other way. And something to hear the singing grass all along the highway. And something to spend some time with America's countryside. And something to feel the warmth of a board when it's American gives you a ride. Well, stories carry the tidings of cruelty to men. You read about the ones who stopped and were never seen again. But I'm sorry to say that women are afraid of the ones who have to bomb. When I get a car on the road, I'll pick up every thumb.
Johnson, just beyond state, there would be several people lined up there with their thumbs out. I don't think that still happened. I haven't seen anybody there forever.
No. Traffic moves too fast for one thing. Another comment.
I just wanted to put a plug in for Dan.
Come on to the mic. Here you go.
If you don't know, I think Dan is probably one of the most prolific composers at Prairie. He has dozens of songs, everyone at least that good. One of his I liked so much that, with his permission, I put it up on my website. I think it's called It's All Over, Babe. And maybe it's not special to you, but I just really love that song. And so it's on my website.
Oh, yeah, you should check that song out. Okay. So I was so happy to be able to bring Jim and Lisa Glick back into this building. Jim will do a little setting up, and Lisa, if you could come up and maybe introduce the song.
That was a long introduction.
Just speak clearly. We
just heard a song from Dan, who was called Prairie's most prolific musician. And this song I somehow, by a miracle, wrote, and I'm the least prolific musician, I'm quite sure. So I was just meditating, and each morning another verse would come out, and it would have a little melody, so I'd walk around singing it, and then record it. And finally, when it was done, I brought it to my musician husband, and he said, well, I'll arrange that for you. I really like the melody in the song. So he started working on it, and it got more and more beautiful. And I soon realized that my attempt to sing it was interfering with the song itself. So I wisely stepped back and let his music speak for itself. The song is about, just briefly, about a butterfly in Africa, and the protagonist, the invisible protagonist, sees the butterfly. And the butterfly is so beautiful that she wants to own it and put it in her jar. And so, of course, the butterfly dies. And so it's kind of, the song is kind of an analogy. Oh, if she gets a second chance and lets the butterfly be free. And it's an analogy to the human desire to own things and capture them. And it's like putting a butterfly in a jar. What happens to the earth? So.
I'm not going to sing. I'll just briefly say that the composition is kind of a just something that was inspired by Lisa's melody and words and kind of took on a life of its own. It's kind of somewhere between a raga and an Irish tune, Irish drone tune. Probably. Thank you.
was incredible. Thank you. So Carl asked me not to put him after Jim, but I but it's not the guitar. And some of you have heard this song already, but I think it's worth sharing again, and it hasn't been done too recently. By the way, several musicians, almost everyone here, submitted several pieces, and then with the help of Eileen and Carl, I was able to select, you know, one from each of those, so it wasn't completely my judgment. Okay, Carl and Lynn, can you talk a little about them?
So yeah, I submitted a couple, and I really wanted to do one that's about hitchhiking, kind of, to go with Dan's, but Paula insisted.
Eileen and I concur.
So I wrote this song when I was on a 4 years ago for guitar, when I was on a guys only weekend fishing, playing cards up north. And I think everybody was out fishing, and I was sitting on the porch fussing around with my guitar, and it's like kind of unusual. It's like the melody and the rhythm and the words for the chorus just kind of came up all at once. And I was like, wow, I should write a song out of that. So I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it real quick, and then I came home and finished the song off. But it was written for guitar. And so the first part of this, so then I thought, well, I'll try it for piano. So I wrote it for piano. So we're going to do it on piano, and Lynn's going to sing. But the intro to it isn't what you'd expect from the rest of the song, but it's based on the guitar intro. So I'm going to just play the guitar intro for you so you can see that I'm not crazy. You know?
I haven't played the guitar for over a month, so we'll see if I can manage. Thank you.
that beautiful? I also have plug his website. He put a slideshow to that music that always brings tears to my eyes. So our last musician is John Wonderland. And we kind of ran long on announcements on joys and concerns this morning, but I would like to give John at least a good 5 minutes for him to warm up, because this is a real treat. And this is a different kind of a musicianship of composing, because it's improvisational. And it's, talk about the creative juice just flowing through you.
Hi, everybody. This is a didgeridoo. The didgeridoo is one of the oldest instruments dating back many thousands of years. It has been used by the Aboriginal tribes of Northern Australia in rituals and dance. The name didgeridoo is actually a Western European invention, which was likely an onomatopoetic word that the first explorers created, which mimics the sound the instrument makes. The actual name of the instrument varies among the many indigenous tribes of Australia, including more than 40 different words, such as Morlo, Mako, Yigi Yigi, and Yadaki. Luckily for Westerners, the Aboriginals have enthusiastically adopted the name didgeridoo in addition to their native names, so you'll never offend any Aboriginals by calling it by its Western name. I wanted to briefly share a creation story from the Aboriginals about the didgeridoo. They have a rich history of storytelling. Their spiritual stories are called Dreamtime. One of their Dreamtime stories involves three gods who have taken bird form. The gigabush bird plays the didgeridoo, the butcher bird plays clapsticks and sings, and the peewee bird dances. As this band play, dance, and sing, they name, and by naming create, everything in the world. When they finish naming and creating everything, they pass on the didgeridoo, clapsticks, songs, and dances to the tribes of Northern Australia, who have continued to use them from generation to generation. The didgeridoo is basically a one-note instrument. Players create a drone sound by circular breathing, that is, blowing out through the instrument while simultaneously breathing in through the nose. It's actually as hard as it sounds. On top of the drone sound, players create many special effects which are used to mimic animal noises and make a wide variety of other sounds which transport the listener to the outback and beyond. Listen for sounds of the dingo, kookaburra, mopoke, and the hopping kangaroo.
Woo!
thank you, all of the performers.
And we'll welcome Robin Proud up here for our closing words.
Don't you think this should become a regular tradition? Our closing words are from someone whose life was all about sharing music. I look upon myself and other songwriters as links in a long chain. All of us, we're links in a chain. And if we do our job right, there will be many, many links to come. Pete Seeger.
Awesome. Well, I don't know about you, but I think the notes today are going to be resounding for me throughout the day and the week. So I hope that is true for you as well. Thanks so much for coming. Please be sure to extend the hand of friendship to those around you. Say hi to somebody you haven't said hi to for a while and catch up. And then join us for coffee and conversation. Thanks a bunch.